Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Tonight, the Lord will continue what He started with us since the period of our prayer and fasting. You will discover that we got to a point where the Lord began to tell us strongly that we need to look at certain issues in the lives of men who carry glory. And at that point, the Lord has put a knife on our appetites as members of pastorates. And the pastor, in the grace and wisdom given to him, has decided that we pause a bit and look at the lives of certain men. And on Wednesday last week, we looked at the life of the first man, Adam. And we saw certain issues about the life of that man called Adam. The Lord did not leave us with the fact that He didn't just make Adam like He made other animals, but He breathed on him the breath of life. And the Lord carried us from there to a man called Moses. And the Lord dealt with us strongly about the life of a man that the Bible called the meekest man that ever walked upon the sand of times. And there the Lord began to show us serious issues in the life of Moses. How the man grew up in the palace, nurtured by royalty, but refused to stay in the midst of royalty when the matter of the kingdom was at stake. In fact, it was like we should not live there. Because the issues the Lord was raising in our life concerning the life of Moses was too much for us to contain in 45 minutes. As if that was not enough, on Sunday, the Lord began to break the issues of the life of that young man, Joseph. Yeah, by the time we began to talk about Joseph, in fact, the matters that borders on the life of Joseph became so numerous that picking them one by one becomes issues that should make every one of us go back home to weep and to cry. Because when you behold the life of a man who was at the point in his life that he could have committed sin and clean his mouth and nobody will find out. In fact, the madam would have promoted him. But he chose not to enjoy worldly pleasures. But he was looking for an eternal reward that only God could give. So even when it took him to the prison, it did not deter him. His vision and the dream God gave him ab initio. He did not allow the pleasures of 5 minutes act or whatsoever to take it. And he waited till the Lord gave him the reward. Today, I am hoping and I'm praying that the Lord will carry us through another serious journey. I don't know how long the Lord will take this. But wherever we get to, if you have the notes with you, you can deal with it. Because I will try not to rush. I will see how far God will help us. Wherever we get to, we stop. But today, God is calling our attention to the life of the man called Daniel. In fact, looking at the life of Daniel, we can clearly say that he was a man who paid attention to the matters of apocalypsis. Because he was a man who interpreted dreams and received apocalyptic visions. So he was a man who talked about the theory and the theology of the end things. The man who talked about the fact that there is going to be the end of the world and certain things were going to happen. So if you look at the life of Daniel very clearly, some of the things we begin to talk about concerning Daniel are the fact that he dreads, the fact that he interpreted dreams, various kinds of dreams, and God gave him visions of the things that would happen. But beyond that, today, we'll be looking at the marks of the glory carrier. And the example we'll be looking at tonight is the example of the man called Daniel. Looking at the marks. And the Lord would want me to look at those marks in two ways. The blessings of that mark and the consecrations of that mark. Ordinarily, we should have talked about the consecrations that brings blessing. But the Lord would want us to have it in the reverse order. So we'll look at the blessings of the marks of a glory carrier. They will now come back to close out with the consecrations that can bring those blessings. Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6,
The Bible began to tell us the life of the man called Daniel. Very interesting life. Daniel chapter 6. I want us to read verse 10. Then verses 21 to 28. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Then we'll go to verses 21 to 28. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Please mark some of these things in your Bible if you can, because we'll be coming back to deal with them when we begin to speak on the matters of consecration. Verses 21 to 28. The Bible says, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them, and they broke all their bones in pieces, because they, before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, the nations, and the languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his kingdom shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This scripture we just read is a scripture, is the instance that happened immediately after Daniel was rescued from the mouth of the lions. When he was thrown into the den of the lions because of those detractors, the governors, the satraps, who sought to find a charge against Daniel. So they went and made sure that Daniel would not have access to pray to his God. And of course, they went to the king and told the king that for a period of 30 days, nobody should pray to any God unless to you. And of course, the reason they did it was very simple. They said, this man that we are looking at, I'm careful not to get to that point because there's a point where we're going to hammer it. They said, the only way we can find something against him is if we do this thing. If we use something against him as he relates with his God, we'll hit that point later. But the Bible made us to know that the moment Daniel had the chapter, verse 10, the Bible says that when he knew that it had been signed, he went up to pray. People of God, this was a man called Daniel, full of many activities of his life. And this activity shaped his life from beginning to the end. And this brought blessings. What were the blessings? Or what are the blessings to us today? If you check Daniel chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, you will see the very first blessing the life of Daniel carried. And that is the same blessing that follows every man who is a glory carrier. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, the Bible says, now at the end of the days, when the king has said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. The very first blessing that follows any man who is a glory carrier is that the man is influential across different kings. No matter the king that comes to power, such a man will be influential. No matter the authority in the place of the dominion or that particular domain, such a man will continue to be influential. You will see Daniel. Daniel was a man who was very influential in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was very influential in the days of Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was very influential in the days of Darius. And Daniel also entered into influence in the days of Cyrus, even though he stayed there for the first year of Cyrus's rule. But you will see that it is difficult to look beyond those who carry the glory of God. Look at what the Bible said, that Daniel continued there until the first year of the King Cyrus. No matter the king that came, they could not overlook Daniel. No matter the king that entered to rule, they just could not overlook Daniel because Daniel was too influential for any man to overlook him. Can I tell you something? Any man who carries the glory of God, any man who has the glory of God upon his life, it is very, very impossible for a man to overlook such a man. When a glory carrier is involved in a matter, to go against him is to pitch tents with failure. The moment you go against a glory carrier, in fact, you have already signed the dotted lines for your own failure. Kings don't go for battle until the prophet have consulted God and received clearance. Nations don't lift a finger until the one with the mandate has declared that the road is free. Such was the glory that was on Daniel that made him to exert influence across four different kings. You can imagine, in our world today, where leaders emerge with the necessary overhaul of their cabinets, that practice did not shake the position of Daniel. Whenever a man enters, he overhauls his cabinet. He takes away the members of cabinets of the other king or the other president of state government or whatsoever. But with Daniel, soldier come, soldier go, Daniel is always there because of the kind of influence that he carried in the land. There have been some men who have walked the sand of our times. A man like Billy Graham, we heard of him. No matter the president that was in charge in his time, Billy Graham would always come to declare the word. Because such men, not that they were looking for what anybody can give. What can you give to them? These are men. Look at even at some point, Daniel said, your gift, go with your gift. These are the kind of men that they carry influence. Archbishop Benson Idahosa, who has gone, even when he was here, no matter the president, no matter who, these were men that when they enter, people begin to shake. The blessing that goes with a man who carries glory is that he's influential anywhere he goes. Daniel was influential in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. He continued in the days of Belshazzar. He continued in the days of Darius, and he continued even in Cyrus's reign. Can I beg you, if you want to gain spheres of influence, if you want to enjoy a modicum of influence, all you need is to carry the glory of God. Number two, men who carry the glory of God. The second blessing is that they are men with prophetic eyes. They have prophetic eyes. What others don't see, they see. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 45, so long a verse or so long a chapter, I may not bother you with all the intricacies of having to read them and the rest of them, you will discover that they were looking for men who will read and understand what God was saying. There was a particular dream that needed interpretation, and there was Daniel there, and he saw what others didn't see. Can I tell you, when you see a man who carries glory, the man sees what other people are not seeing. People will be wondering, how come I'm not seeing it? The man has an eye that people are not seeing what others are seeing. Can you remember in the scripture, the Bible talked about the man called Elisha? The scripture said that the king of Syria wanted to go and fight against the Israelites. But the scripture said, Elisha told the king of Israel, he said, don't pass that way. Because when you pass that way, the king of Syria has already arranged to fight and to destroy the people. The scripture said the king of Israel went there and told the people, don't take this way because there is war waiting for you. And the Bible made us to understand that the Syrians were disappointed because what they were looking for, they could not succeed. And the king of Syria gathered his people and told them, one of you is giving us out. There must be somebody who is not in support of what we are, doing. Then one of the servants answered, he said, no, sir. It's not that somebody is not in support. There is a man called Elisha. Elisha has a way of telling you what is happening in your bedroom. It is because the man carries the glory of God. A man who is a glory carrier. What others have not seen, he sees. What others are still grappling with, he sees. So if you want to see the matters of your future, you want to see the matters of God, what are you saying in my life? All you need is to carry the glory of God. They foretell and they foretell. Nothing is hidden from their eyes. Everything is bare before them. Proverbs 25 verse 2. The Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search them out. The third thing that happens to as a blessing for everyone who carries the glory of God is that they are filled with unusual wisdom and they are carriers of God's spirit. If you see Daniel chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, it lays credence to the kind of wisdom that God bestows upon those who are glory carriers. Will you permit us share a bit from that scripture? The Bible says in verse 11, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy God. This is Daniel. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. This is a man who carried glory. The kind of wisdom that they go to consult the gods to get was resident in Daniel. Can you imagine? The things people used to go and consult mediums to get a glimpse of what it looked like. The Bible says light and understanding were resident in him. If you read further in that scripture, you will see something a bit more startling. By the time you get to verse 14, the Bible says, I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. This is the king addressing Daniel. The king said, I have heard of you. Where did he hear of him? The knowledge and the wisdom and the kind of light that were coming out from the life of Daniel was so much that even the king had it in his palace. Can we come to a point where we want to eat the main meal of this message? The consecrations of the marks of the glory carriers. Those who carry glory, when they are looking for ways to be influential, they are looking for ways to have prophetic eyes. They are looking for ways to be filled with wisdom, looking for ways to be carriers of God's spirit. Can I tell you, you can't get them until you pay attention to the consecrations. Let's see how far we can go as we prepare. Number one, the consecrations any glory carrier must have is found in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. The first consecration that you must have is that you must be determined never to defile yourself. When we look at the generation of today, you see a lot of defilements. You see boys defiling themselves. You see girls defiling themselves. You see children defiling themselves. You see what fathers are doing to their daughters. You see all manners of things that are happening in our generation and in our time. And you ask yourself, are these people ready for the glory that is coming? In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine with which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Will you permit me to explain to you a little bit about what we just read? Did you see in the scripture that the Bible did not say Daniel kicked against the education they were giving them? The level of education they subjected them to, Daniel did not say, I won't go to school. Daniel went to school. Even the kind of learning they gave them, he went there, he said, okay, if it's this learning, I will go and I will receive it. And he subjected himself to it. Do you know that the name of Daniel was changed? Daniel did not bother much. He said, the name Abi, no problem. You go ahead. You call me any name. And I see people who men call all manners of names. They say, you can't make it. They call you names you know your mother didn't give you. They call you name that is not consistent with your nature. And these things come your way. It doesn't matter. What matters is the life you carry. Because people can call you all manners of things. Some people have said, let my enemy live long and see what I will become in future. And the Bible said they even changed the name of Daniel. But there was one matter they went. They came to that point and Daniel said, no, you have gone too far. They said, even your food, we are going to change it. And Daniel said, no, sir. I'm not going to define myself with a portion of the king's meats. Do you know, in the face of general acceptance, Daniel chose to be different. It is a tough call to say no to the offer of the king. He didn't only refuse the king's request, he denied himself of the opportunity of feeding fat and enjoying the sumptuous meal that was presented from the kitchen of the king. He said, king, whatever you want to present to me, I'm not interested in it. I don't want it. In fact, some theologians have gone on to say that the kind of meal that is presented at the king's table are food offered to idols, particularly this meal from the Babylonian Empire. People have said so. And that one thing I'd like you to understand is that Daniel perused and said, I will not defy myself. The moment at which Daniel called the food what will defile him, there was something he knew that he didn't want to pay attention to. He said, I've seen the way you eat here. I've seen what you do before you present this food. I've seen what you do at the backyard. I'm not going to eat your food. Can I beg somebody tonight? If you want to carry glory and you see what everybody is doing and you say, it doesn't matter, I will join to do it. Yes, they say we can do it. I will do it. Can I beg you? There are certain things a man does in life. There are certain things a man will do in life because you know this thing defies. You say, Shebi, others are doing it. God forbid. Those who carry glory, they don't join with others to do what others are doing. Daniel said, I will not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. I've seen the kind of sacrifices that go unabatedly on the matter of food. I won't sit down and eat. Can I ask you, my brother, my sister, how many places are you sitting down eating and you know what is being offered to you? These things, you cannot share it at the altar. There are many testimonies we share at the altar. If you search your heart, you know those testimonies have defied even you that are sharing the testimony. Can I beg you that the fact that others are doing it does not mean you must do them? The Bible said, Daniel said, I will not defy myself with a portion of the king's meat. The second thing, I discovered that Daniel did not only make up his mind not to defile himself. Daniel also was a man who looked out for the good of people around him. If you want to be a glory carrier, don't carry it alone. Any man who cooks for his community, community will finish eating it and he will be without food. But if the community cook for you, oh God, you will eat and eat and eat. You will not be able to go anywhere. And I saw in Daniel chapter 2, in verses 46 to 49, look at what happened to Daniel. Look at the glory in the life of a man who carried God's glory. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his feet, prostrate before Daniel. Did you see it? I don't know if you saw it. Let's read it again. They say, it is when you come before a king, you prostrate before a king. How I wish you had seen what I'm seeing here now. That when a man who is carrying the glory of God, he is carrying the King of Kings, is resident, the King of Kings is resident on his inside. Even the worldly king, when they come before such men, they bow. Not like the kind of people we have today who run around the corridors of power because of food, because of money. And you belittle the glory you carry. You go from pillar to post, begging men that you should not beg, belittling the grace of God upon your life. And they say, all pastors are the same. All pastors are not the same. There are some men who still have authority. There are some men who still know what they carry on their inside. And the Bible said, King Nebuchadnezzar bowed down before him. I'm very careful to note that scripture. The Bible said, when he saw what was happening in the life of this man, the Bible said he came to him and he bowed to him. And when he bowed to him, he commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Do you know? The king also answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secrets. But look at this place. The Bible said, then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Verse 49. And Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gates of the king. I want to ask you and I want to plead with you. As you are going, how many people are you carrying along? Have you become a king who kills others so that others will not rise? You are not a glory carrier. Glory carriers, they carry others along as they go. It is important to know and to note how Daniel puts in words for his three Hebrew brothers. Glory carriers are not exclusive and seclusive. They are inclusive in approach. If you have, I beg you, give to others. If you are in position, let others be blessed because of the position you have. Daniel was being blessed, but when he was enjoying the blessing, he said, I have three brothers. Please don't forget them. Place them. And they were placed. One single light in the midst of gross darkness will at best attract attention, but will not create any effect. The Bible says you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. If you have, let others share it, because that's a consecration you cannot afford to miss. Spread it. Let it go around. Number three, those who are glory carriers, the third consecration, looking at the life of Daniel, that they must have, is that they are blameless on all accounts. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Let's go through Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Those who are glory carriers, they are blameless on all accounts. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, and that the satraps might have account to them, might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Listen, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Look at the moment the king gave thought to set him over the whole realm. Look at what happened in verse 4. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no charge. They could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then this man said, we shall not find any fault against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What a man. Those who are glory carriers, no matter how you search them, you can't find any fault. You can imagine a man who is in authority, a man who was serving in government house, yet when they came to search him concerning the matters of his job, they sought to find charge against him. The Bible says, concerning the kingdom, no charge or fault was found in Daniel. Did you see that it is interesting how a man in power could not be stained? Some of us, the people cannot relate with us, even at our place of work. In fact, you can't tell people at your place of work that you're a pastor. You can't tell people at your place of work that you're a deacon. You can't mention that you're a Christian. The moment you mention you're a Christian, they say, who is talking? Who? The Bible said they searched Daniel concerning the matter of the kingdom. They could not find any fault in him. No error, no fault. Nothing to hold against him. He was a blameless man, faultless, without any error, without any blemish. What a man. Men who carry the glory of God, when you search them inside out, anyhow you look at them, they are always faultless, spotless, without error. How many Daniels do we see have in our time? How many Daniels do we see have in our generation? How many Daniels can we boast of in our time? Who will be able to say, come and check me. Come and check my record. Come and check my record. How many things do you delete on your phone? How many things do you delete on your net? That's 2 years ago. So Facebook, one matter entered Facebook. They say Facebook will start announcing what is on everybody's personal inbox. People started petitioning Facebook. You cannot. You cannot. It's my private life. Because you know, once it opens, many marriages will crash. Many issues will just end. I'd like to ask you, what are the issues? What are those issues? Daniel said, come and check. Come and check. Come and check. Check my laptop. Check my phone. Check me. Go to my house. Go and ask my wife. How many of you, you want to carry glory, but the story about your life is pitiable? Such men can't carry glory. You can't be carrying glory as you are carrying it. Your life is stinking. The Bible said Daniel, they searched him. They couldn't find. They said there's only one thing we can use against him. We must use his God against him. Let's fix executive council meeting on Wednesday, midweek service. That man will still go for midweek service. Let's announce that nobody should fast again. We are going to be eating every day in the office. That man will not eat because he will fast. I wish we still have men that you will say, no. But you, whenever they are doing evil and you enter, they say, continue. He will support us. He has a way of embellishing the point. Oh God, Daniel, a carrier of God's glory. The moment he came to the matter of finding fault, they couldn't find anything against him. Did you see the Bible in John chapter 14, verse 30? The Bible said, Jesus himself said, he said, the prince of this world came, but he found nothing in me. Some of us, if God says from today, we'll be opening everybody's life and be putting it on the screen. Some people say, Father, kill me before that time. How many things will be revealed about our lives? How many matters will come to the open about our lives? Blameless or no account. Number four, those who are glory carriers, they are consistent with their devotion. Did you see in chapter 6, verse 10? After the king said there's people will die. In short, anybody who prays to any other God other than to me, let them die. The Bible said the moment Daniel had it, he went to his house. Look at verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open, he didn't even close it. Because according to the tradition, you must pray facing Jerusalem. He maintained it. With his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees. 3 times that day. Not once. Not 2 times. 3 times that day, he knelt down and prayed. Consistent in their devotion. For you, some of you, today you are hot. Tomorrow you are cold. And you say glory will come. Glory don't come when men are lukewarm. Glory comes when men are consistent in their devotional lifestyle. Regulations and promulgations aren't enough to deter a man of glory. It is time to pray, and we are going to pray no matter what it is. Any man who rises against my devotion, I'm not going to pay attention. I'm going to insist on my devotion. But we see in the church today, the church is the only institution where men do this anyhow. You go to work very early. When it is time when we are having physical meetings, when it is 7 o'clock, you are rushing to work because you must not clock in late. But in church, you can clock in anytime. You can comb your hair in the church. You can comb your hair. You can even wear cocoa cashew. Just enter anytime. And the King of Glory is seated waiting. How I wish God will come physically to church. But unfortunately not. And that is why the abuse is at the highest level. What is your devotion? You that want God to visit you, what is the level of your devotion? Even the preacher who is preaching, what is the level of his devotion to the matters of eternity? You cannot want to access heaven's blessing when you are not ready to lift a finger to pay your level of devotion to the God of glory. Look at Daniel. Does anybody who prays will die? He went up. Not once, not twice, not 3 times. He opened the windows, prayed towards Jerusalem, and they saw him. He didn't even mind. He lifted up his eyes. He was praying. Olorun mi, eyin ni masin, titi aye o, ami o. He was not deterred, no matter what the case is. Number 5, as we begin to close. Men who carry the glory of God, they are resolute in their consecrations. They are resolute in their consecrations. You can see that also in that verse 10 of chapter 6. The Bible says, in that verse 10, the Bible says, and he gave thanks before his God as his custom since early days. Daniel is known for his steadfast adherence to worshiping the covenant God of Israel, even when his life was at stake. He did not shake. He maintained his consecration. The Bible says, since his early days. I'd like to ask you, what are those things you used to do in your early days that you no longer do? What are those things you used to do? Till today, they ask you, when did you become born again? You say 1972. Excuse me. Can I ask you, what were you doing in 1972 that you have stopped doing? You still say you are born again since 1972. A man was saying, God, I need more of your glory. God said, keep quiet. I've left you. So when you say you want God, I want to ask you, Is it that you want more of God? Is even God, is God even with you? The Bible said, Daniel said, this is what I've been doing since I was a youth, since my early days, and I'm not going to stop it now. Men who carry glory, they keep to their early consecrations with unwavering faith. You cannot silence them when the matter of eternity is on the line. It is interesting that Daniel made a resolution on certain consecrations of his life. I'm not going to stop praying. I'd like to ask you young people, and you listen to me, elderly people, what are the consecrations you are making? But for the young ones, the Bible said Daniel made it from the days of early beginning. What consecration are you making today? You know, I have made certain consecrations over the face of my life, around women, around money. You can mention them. There was a time in my life I told myself I will never eat until I preached to one soul. I won't taste any food until I have preached to a soul. Till death, I will never pick my phone until I have studied at least 4 chapters of the Bible. There's no call. I must wake up very early, study the Bible at least 4 chapters before I talk to any man. I must commune with the divine before I speak with human. I have no message to preach to human if I've not spoken to the divine. What are your consecrations? I'd like to ask you, what are your... Daniel said, I must continue to do like I've been doing since I was young. What are you doing? So all of you listening to me all over the world, what are the consecrations you bring to the table and you challenge authorities in church when there are no consecrations over your life? You know, as I look at this matter, I'm amazed. The way we live our life with so much carelessness. Daniel said, they said we should stop praying. But if I stop praying, I am dead. There are so many things you must not take away from your life. I used to know a brother. Whenever he sins, he will start crying. You will hear him from afar. The first time I heard it, I asked, I said, what's wrong? They said, he has sinned again. Whenever he sins, he cries. But I know the brother now. When he sins, you know what he says? He said, God understands. I'd like to ask you, what level of consecration have you made with your life? Now, it has not become easy for you to fraternize sin. Sin no longer means anything to you again. You have become spiritually matured. You have become too strong. God cannot bend you again. There is nowhere God can say, come and sit down. Let me talk to you. He said, God, I know the scripture. Which one do you want to quote? I know it. Even when you sit down in church, you that used to pay attention when God was speaking to you, now you now know. When they speak to you now, you say, I even know that. Where is it coming from? Daniel said, no, let me go back. I need us to pray. But not until I deal with one matter. I may need to jump some matter so that we can close. I will jump 6 and I will jump 7. Let me talk to 8. I will rise to pray. Men whom God will release his glory upon their life and they become glory carriers. They are men who do not distort eternal truth. There are some eternal truth that God is bringing our way. You don't need to distort them. You don't need to distort them. In Daniel chapter 5, the Bible told us something very serious. Belshazzar gathered all his gear friends, gathered his wives, gathered carnal men. Unfortunately, it is today, it's only in the church, carnal men can come and sit down and be arbitrating over holy matters. We are now beginning to lay corrupt hands on empty heads. Little wonder the lives of men are no longer getting changed because corrupt hands are being laid on empty heads. Men who have no business on the pulpits are the ones pulling men out of the pits. It's a shame. Men who should be begging God for mercy for their lives are not the ones challenging authorities in church. Men who are not involved in spiritual exercises, they are not the ones who come to say it should be done this way. The church of God is not management principles and theories. It's a kingdom principle. In the kingdom, what is the first question that is asked? It's not why. It's not how. It is what. Every man God called to an assignment, the first thing they say is, what would you have me do? The first matter that should burden our hearts if we are glory carriers is, God, what are you saying? Not how will we do it. When Jesus was to feed the 5,000, even the man who said, how can it be? God, all these things, how can we feed them? So, Jesus didn't even answer him. Because the first question in kingdom matter is not how. Neither is it why. How can you be asking me, why do we want to feed these people when we don't have food? It is what? What should we do? Give us 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes is enough. And Belshazzar, as I close, was using the holy things of the temple to be drinking and marrying. His concubines, maybe prostitutes, also came. And they were drinking from the holy cup. All of a sudden, a finger appeared. I have read through the scripture. I know God is very patient. I know. God always is always patient. That day, God couldn't hold it. God couldn't hold it. Most times when God wants to deal with men, he finishes and God deals with him. God said, No, I can't wait again. He began to write many, many tekel of fasting. I like to tell you, is it because you have not seen the hand of God writing concerning the fact that God has weighed you? He has checked you, placed you on the weight and on the scale, you have been found wanting. And he has taken the kingdom from you, taking your place from you. And the Bible said the king began to shake. I was wondering how he was shaking. The Bible said his legs were jamming together. I don't know how old he was, but me now, at this my age even, my legs can't join together. They can't really. You know when you used to watch cartoon, and you see cartoon, you be seeing cartoon, you see. Those cartoon people got it from the king. His leg was shaking. The Bible says the 2 knees were touching. And I was wondering, how did it happen? Because my own is not touching very well. The Bible said before it happened, he first loosed his hip to create space. He was afraid. And the Bible says he cried loud. Who is there? Who is there? Who is there? Because he was seeing a handwriting. Mene, mene, tekel, offering. I have weighed you on the scale and I found you wanting. No man. And when Daniel came, we need more of Daniels. Not men who will stand before the king and be praising the king. Which money do you want to give us? Which money? Did you not see in the Bible? The Bible said your money perish with you. In the matters of eternity, no money is worth it. Because when a rich man even dies, no kobo is buried with him. And Daniel said, sir, let me tell you, your father was a great man. God lifted your father. He was a great king. He could kill. Anybody he kills is killed. He could remove. He could place. And when God lifted him, he became proud. So God dealt with him. But king, even you, after you came, you knew what your father did, and you did the same thing. God said, it's over for you. He started giving Daniel gifts. He did all manners of things. That night, he died. I want to stop you from dying. I want to stop myself from dying. Can I beg you tonight? There is no basis for us as humans to live our life as if there are no consecrations for the glory that is coming. Do you know God will not bless a man whose life is not consecrated? You don't pour a new wine in an old wineskin. Can I beg you, wherever you are, to bow your knees? If you can, wherever you are, in the comfort of your room, will you kneel down and say, Lord, I come before you tonight. Come into my life. Lord, when you weigh the scale of a man's life and you find such a man guilty, oh God, wherever you are, we'll sing that song, I am dying, O Lord. And I hope and I pray that after tonight, you will not be crying for glory to come when your life is not correct. Oh, I am thine, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord. I am thine. I am thine, O Lord. O God. O God. Lord, behold your church. Behold your church. Behold your church. Ah. Ah.
Lord, I love.
Ah. O God.
In the
hands. Law courts, there is a mode of attitude in the law court, and if you go against it, you'll be held for contempt. If you go to the palace of the king, you must pay obeisance, else you'll be charged against the laws as the king may demand. Why is it in the church that we are different? Why is it in the church we do anyhow? Yet we are crying for glory. The reason why glory is not appearing is because men are still saying story. A man of God, a big man in Nigeria went to a church. He was the one saying it. He said, I went to a church so that the pastor can preach and deflate my ego. But the moment the pastor saw me enter the church, he changed his message. He started pleasing me, preaching to the galleries, scoring political points, speaking to the good of a man. The man said he left church weeping. That if in the church I cannot be told the truth, then I am lost. Father, I don't know who you have spoken to tonight, but I'm pleading that you consecrate us now to thy service, Lord. Let the church be the church. Let men fear you. Restore your glory to the church and build consecrations in our hearts. Thank you, Father. If there be somebody who is taking a decision tonight, please, Lord, do not allow the devil, do not allow the enemy to eat that seed. Let that seed germinate. Body the heart of someone tonight. Don't give someone rest until someone makes a decision tonight. Lord, who is that person you are speaking to tonight? Who is that person that you have weighed on the scale and you are saying, sister, I found you wanting? Call one pastor. Get them to pray for you. Call one brother. Let him pray for you. Father, please, we don't want to continue like this without this matter being dealt with. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485. 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.